we get things underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the program a very talented actor. You've seen him in films like Wolf of Wall Street, a Bombshell, television shows like Big Little Lies, Vinyl, and the show that's got everybody talking these days on Amazon Prime, Them. We are so happy to be joined by PJ Byrne. Hello, PJ.
Rich, what's up, buddy? I love that I'm episode 2041. That's an honor. I like that number. I like that. It's a big number. It's kudos to your talent, my friend. Good job.
I think this is, you know, one of those that we'll remember. People will say, I know where I was the day that episode
aired. 2041. We remember. April 19, 2021. I listened to 2041 and it's going to change some lives right now.
No question about that. And look, we're happy to be able to pry you away from doing your taxes. It's good to be seen as more enjoyable than that.
Yeah, I mean, so I had a finance degree, and I know a lot of actors have business managers, which kills me because they pay like an extra 5% of their income. And a lot of them sign these like, you're gross. The 5% of my gross goes to my business manager, and it kills me because all you really need is a tax accountant and a financial advisor, and then you're good to go. So I don't know. Business managers and me are a little... We bang knuckles, if you will.
Well, I was going to ask what your pandemic experience has been like, but before we came on, you were telling me that you've had a baby in this time. Now, I don't want to... Oh, I do want to pry. That's what I do.
No, pry away. What? This Rich. Come on, we go back. We're on episode 2041. Exactly. We need all the information we can get now.
So is this a true pandemic baby conceived during the pandemic?
If this is pre-pandemic, and I honestly think debatable if my son exists, if the pandemic happened, wow, we've just crushed any form of income, you know, because acting, it has always been, you know, traditionally considered a recession-proof profession. Now, don't get me wrong, it's very hard to be an actor and to work and to consistently, you know, it's a high-risk industry. But when you're working, ideally, it's a recession-proof industry. But this is the first thing that's sort of, you know, but next to war, what have you. But it's come along and shut us down for a very good beat. But, you know, kudos to our union and the producers and all the studios and the production companies that they found a way to sort of thread the needle and get us back to working earlier than, you know, than most organizations and industries. But yeah, no, we got through the pandemic. We had a baby. His name is Bear Paul Byrne. Bear Byrne. He's named after my dad because when we used to go on road trips as kids, we used to go with my aunt and uncle, and my uncle was in one car with the family, and we were on CB radios back then, no cell phones, so you had to have, you know, a call sign. So my uncle, who was this bald dentist, who was so funny, Uncle Frank, he was Bald Eagle. And he would go and he would ask my dad, he's like, Big Bear, where's Big Bear? And my dad was Big Bear. And my dad's gigantic. He's 6'4", like 240. I'm 5'10", like 170. I missed a gene for sure. But so we named him after my dad, Bear Paul Byrne. And his name is Paul Byrne, so he's Bear Paul.
Well, 10'4", good buddy. That's awesome.
I did it for you, Rich. I did it. Rich, what would be your CB radio call sign? Did you have one?
I did not. I was around then when the CB craze was going, but I didn't have one. Although, interestingly enough, in college, you know, back in the late 70s, a bunch of us decided to pack up our cars, two cars worth of guys, and drive to Florida for spring break. And we didn't want to bother to get CB radios, so we bought cheap, like, I don't know, Radio Shack walkie-talkies. And we thought, we'll communicate this way. This will be fantastic. Yeah. And so they worked for about the first 10 minutes. And then we got separated on the interstate. And
it was over.
28 hours later, somewhere in the middle of Florida, we hear, Car One, are you guys there? We're in Fort Lauderdale. Where are you? Like, we're in Fort Lauderdale, too. Where you been for a day and a half? So maybe I should have gone.
What did you drive down there? Do you remember what you drove?
I did. It was a Pontiac Ventura.
I love it. How many guys in one car?
I think we had four in one. Somebody had a bigger car, like a and then three in mine.
I miss those road trips. I love those road trips. Those are good times.
And just pass out on the beach and be there for a week and then
drink away. Drink to your heart's content.
May have done that. All right, we got to talk about Them. Oh, my God. So people were talking about them, and I wanted to see it. But then I saw you were in it, and I said, well, now I definitely have to watch. Good God, that show is intense.
It's heavy. It's got everything. I mean, you want racism. You want terror. It's all there packed up. You want PTSD. There's so much that the two leads, Ashley and Deborah, have to deal with, you know, as far as backstories going on in their brains. I don't think any other show, honestly, I mean, just let's take Ashley's character, who I play his boss on the show. So he's dealing with PTSD from World War II because the government tested on him, which is horrific. He's dealing, I don't know if I should say this, a loss, let's say, of a family member. He's dealing with a wife who went through, I don't want to give it away, a traumatic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then he moves, you know, he leaves the East Coast and he comes out West thinking new hopes and dreams. He moves to a place in Compton, which was originally all white. And then is just the racism times a billion. They want him out of the neighborhood and his family. And then he comes to work for me. And there's these slight bits of just power and racism and struggle. So he's got a lot on his plate. And I've even put in, like, there's a haunting going on in the house. I mean, like, what other show in the history of shows juggles so much and threads the needle like that and gets it done?
And I've had less than stellar bosses in the past, but nobody quite like Stuart Burks.
Oh, he's horrible. He's horrible. And that's, you know, the whole show that this little Marvin came up with and Lena produces, it, you know, it's this big idea, great show. And I know for that scene, though, in particular, a buddy of mine, Dave Matthews, he was also one of the showrunners. He knows my voice. So he writes these great scenes as well. And just the flip flopping of my character, you don't know if it's like I'm your buddy, I'm your friend, I'm a lovely boss, or I'm just horrific, racist piece of garbage, and you're constantly flipping throughout the scene. So that's why, I mean, I love this character just to play with it. I mean, in life, I think he's a terrible human, but it is a fun character for an acting experience to play. I'll tell you the flip flopping I do.
Well, and I love that when we meet Stuart, we find out right away that he's, I don't want to give anything away, any spoilers for people who haven't watched, but it's safe to say he's much more concerned when something bad happens to a dog than to a human.
For sure. I mean, and that's just so telling of who he is. It's just, he's not a great person and he loves power. But the lesson is there's always someone a little more powerful than you. And he wants to plug into his power anywhere he can.
So is it a fun character to play? Obviously, it's always fun to be a villain. But in this setting, has it been enjoyable?
It really is first and foremost, I look for like really good writing, right? And is it an important story? And there's, you know, this is an important story that I didn't even know what was going on in Compton at the time that it was originally right, and how, you know, what they did to the African American population is just horrific, and how they just price gouged them and, you know, in and out of homes. I think it's an important thing for everyone in America to see. But as far as then playing the character and the good writing, it's a blast. I also love playing period pieces as well. I just enjoy, you know, just completely forgetting who the real PJ Byrne is and just entrenching myself. And when you play horrible characters, it's so antithetical to who I am as a person. I know I'm, and know when it's right, because it just feels so disgusting when I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this, or I'm saying this, or I feel this. I know I'm in the zone, and it's almost, I feel like I'm cheating because I get such a good answer viscerally what it feels like when I'm in it, because it feels so wrong that it is right, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
But I know.
And it feels that way watching too. And I said to Carrie when I had watched the first episode, I hate all white people now. I mean, I'm angry. I'm angry at everybody. And it's not an easy show to watch, but I think that's the power of it, is you hang in there through some awful stuff. And the creative team has said, yeah, believe us, we know, but you have to make an impression and let people know. And you need that visceral reaction, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, I mean, and it's not like we're embellishing. Like, if you talk to people that lived in Compton during that time, or anywhere in America, and how racism was so in your face, and how, you were just such a second-class citizen. It's almost like, did we push the envelope enough on some level? It's like, could we have really zinged them more? Because it really happened. So I don't know. It's a good show to be a part of. I'm proud to be a part of that show. You know, and the thing is, there's so much material out there in the world right now. Mm-hmm. You have to have these extra elements to sort of keep people, you know, interested. So I think we do that. Also, we're just showing people what history was like, you know, in the 50s.
Now, I know the show has been signed already for a second season on Amazon Prime. Is Stuart back for season two?
Well, it's going to be a completely different scenario. So this is kind of a standalone baby, and then there'll be like a whole different story from little Marvin's mind. Yeah.
Okay. We're talking with PJ Byrne here on Downtown. What else have you got going on? Can you tell us about the boys?
Yeah. So I don't even know what the heck I'm allowed to say yet. So I think I'm allowed to say I'll be back in season three. There's some other things I can't talk about. I'm going to be on I'm going to recur on another show called Never Have I Ever. That's going to be on Netflix. That's coming out, I think, in July, maybe June or July. Another nice guy. I'm another very nice guy. And then I think I can say it. And then I'm going to do Cobra Kai for season four, I think they're on. Yeah, no, we're having a nice run. We're having a nice run, and then actually, Ray, I'm leaving in like a week or so. Ray Romano wrote a beautiful script, and he's going to be directing it as well, and we're going to be shooting that in New York. And that might be the thing I'm most excited about. A, because I'm excited to be, you know, anytime to work with Ray, but Ray Romano is one of the best humans in the world, and I know all the care and hard work he puts into this movie, and now he's going to direct, and I'm the most excited about it because I think he has incredible taste. I think he's wildly talented.
Oh, he did a great little two-hander with our friend Mark Duplass that was wonderful.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like anything he touches is like, I think he's a super actor, and you know, and gotta remember he came up just being a stand-up comedian. He didn't go to directing school or grad school to be a classically trained actor. He learned as he did, and you know, on his show he was surrounded by greats. What a better better teaching place. But I mean, he's just special. Having acted with him in Vinyl, I'm excited to work on this, and I'm excited for everyone to see it because I know he's going to deliver. He's just a great talent.
That's very cool. Now I hesitate to bring this up.
Hesitate
because
and just do it.
It might be pause a sore spot as a Boston College guy. What the heck is Boston University doing winning a national championship in college hockey?
I don't know. I'm so bummed. We were so close. I really thought this was the year. I thought this was it. We were going to do it. And it's crazy. These kids are so talented. And once they lost, I feel like a week later, like three of them were in the pros playing somewhere. And it's so crazy the talent they get on the hockey team. But actually the BC, everywhere from, you know, women's hockey, how many Olympians do we have come out there, to our lacrosse team is amazing. We just beat Notre Dame handedly this weekend, our female lacrosse team, but our soccer team and field hockey and like our basketball, our women's team is coming. Now we got a new coach and we got Coach Halfley, the football team. I'm excited about BC sports. And Martin Jarman just left. I don't know if he was the athletic director. He's like this golden boy athletic director, just a great guy. But they got another new athletic director there. That's great. But Martin is actually out here at UCLA now. So I feel by default, I'm becoming a UCLA fan as well because Martin's there. But also they're the Bruins. I just named my son Bears. So it's like, by default, I have to be a Bruins fan.
That's perfect. Well, PJ, it's always great to talk with you. Love your work on them. Look forward to all the exciting new projects.
Thank you, my friend.
And thanks for making some time for us in the midst of tax season here today.
Rich, hey, buddy, I love you. I've always been a fan of you. But at the end of the day, you're even a better person other than your talent. You're a good egg, man, and keep crushing it. I'm proud of you.
All right. Thanks, PJ. Good to talk.
Talk to you soon, my friend. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye now. PJ Byrne, check him out on them on Amazon Prime.